Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Let's now talk to the coach of the mighty Parramatta Eels, Brad Arthur. Welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Afternoon, boys. How you going?
Very well, Brad. A lot's been said about this game to kick us off, which is a hell of a good game to start. But for you blokes in all of this, it's a trip to Brisbane.
Yeah. Oh, look, we had a bit of practice in round two. We went to Gold Coast, the Titans, and, you know, we sort of out of Bankstown, jumped on the plane, arrived, jumped on a bus, straight to the ground for a couple of hours before kickoff and straight out of there. So it worked actually quite smoothly, and both the NRL, the Titans and our club done a good job to get us in and out.
Yeah, Brad, what are you expecting from the Broncos? Do you go back and look at the tapes from, you know, round one and two, or, you know, you just, you know, treat it like the first game of the season?
Oh, look, we're going to, in terms of our approach, we have to, as far as we're concerned, go back and start over again. You know, we've lost a bit of momentum. We'll have to go back and put all those building blocks in place. I'm sure the Bronx would be thinking along the same lines. But, you know, I feel like just watching them this year, they've played some good footy. They're getting more pass on the ball, you know, getting out to their edges. A lot of sort of, you know, a half-field position shift into a long shift, you know. So they're doing a lot of shift on shift, which is moving defences around and generating some ruck speed for them.
Brad, when the draw came out, I imagine you must have been happy.
Oh, look, it's, you know what, the good thing about the draw is, for us anyway, that we get to play at Bankwest a fair bit. We don't get to leave Sydney until we have to go to New Zealand, maybe at the end of the year. But, you know, outside of that, I think we lose any advantage or massive advantage we had at Bankwest, because without the 20 or 30,000 fans, that makes a difference. But it's what it is, you know, like from week to week, you could be playing a team without their best player. You could be playing them at full strength. You could be coming off a hide, and, you know, they could be, you know, from one week to the next. So I don't think it matters from week to week.
Yeah. And also, I think, too, is other teams enjoy playing at Bankwest so much that sort of half diminishes your advantage as well, because it's not a ground they sit down and think, oh, geez, why do we have to play hit there today? They actually quite enjoy the experience.
Yeah, well, it's a great facility, and, you know, on both sides of the tunnel are exactly the same, so there's no advantage to us over another team.
Yeah.
The only advantage we do really get is on game day with our fans, but, you know, we're not going to have that, so it's going to be similar for both teams.
The bookies put you in as favourites. What did you think of that?
Oh, I didn't know that, but, you know what? We don't read into it too much, because we can't afford to. We've played two games. We need to concentrate on, you know, our week-to-week performances, and probably the thing that we need to concentrate on, and we missed an opportunity after round two, was on the back of a good performance where we sort of, the scoreline blows out at the end of the game, we have a tendency to try and start the game the next week in the same fashion without going back and building the right. So we missed a bit of an opportunity to see if we'd learnt some lessons from last year, but well, hopefully we get another chance at some stage throughout the year to put that in practice.
Brad, were you happy with the way all your players come back? Did they come back better than expected, or just a little bit down?
Look, I thought they'd come back really good, because we've developed plenty of trust over especially the last couple of years with the group that we've got and the professionalism in them. But they come back excellent, and probably better than I thought, some of them. We had 9 blokes run personal best in a generic test that I think every NRL club does, a 1.2, and we had 4 or 5 blokes that were like a second or two off it, you know. And, you know, Micah took a minute off his time, you know, and he's not an endurance player. He's a power athlete, so he's never going to score great and those sort of things. But he took a minute off his time, you know, which is huge for us. So we'll be able to get him to do more of his quality.
I remember years ago, Brad, Parramatta Stadium there, Ray Price, remember he was making a comeback for Wakefield Trinity, and he came along and started training with the Eels to get fit again. And the Eels back then used to do a 2,800-metre field test. And Ray Price ran a time that was so far below his personal best, because he didn't have weekly grind. He was in such good shape. Everyone went away and went, wow. And John Maney said to me later, he said, mate, I'm sure he did one lap less than he should have. so you might just have to measure your little one there if you're getting too many personal bests.
The thing is, they all do it together. It's pretty hard between the budget.
Yeah.
What's the latest on your little hooker, Reid Marnie? Brad, will he be right for Suncorp and the Broncos?
Yep, we trained yesterday. morning, yesterday morning, had a really good kid out and was quite physical. Our Reggie boys really give it to us yesterday, and so got quite intense at times. So it was a really, really good test for Reedy, and he got through it. Look, in terms of his injury, he's fine. It's just going to be he's not going to be at the fitness standards that he would record that he expects of himself. You know, those first couple of games, just because he's going to be a bit down on match conditioning. But you know, we'll take some precautions with him, you know, probably only playing 50, 60 minutes first game.
So what do you use Ray Stone as your alternative dummy half? Or
yeah, Stoney will come off the bench and give us, you know, a bit of time there, just either side of half-time. But Reedy's too important to us to throw out. And it's not his foot that we're worried about. If we just try and expect him to go 80 straight up with limited training, you know, we're putting him at risk in other areas.
What about the Broncos? What's your mail out of there? Are you expecting Matt Lodge to play?
We got told that he probably wouldn't line up. So that makes him, you know, like their forward pack's very strong. So that helps them. But like we can't really focus too much on what team presented to us until we really get the team Tuesday afternoon. And by then, all our preparation's pretty much done anyway. So we're preparing that he'll be in the team. But, you know, there's a couple of handy players there that we've got to keep our eye on in the starting lineup in the forwards. And then also, you know, Milford, we're going to have our eyes on him if they're hit.
Brad, just to your coaching philosophy, are you one of those coaches that likes to change things around a bit according to who you're playing and who's playing where? Or are you more about, look, I'm just going to pick the same team and we're going to play a similar game plan and we just go out and make sure that we do what we do right?
It's a bit of both, Kenny. We got you know, a bit of a blueprint on how we like to play with the football, how we like to start a game. And then, you know, there's periods where we look at the team, move teams around a bit more, but we will come up with a couple of specifics for, you know, some teams are really good from a shorter field position defensively, some teams are better from a, you know, wider field position. So in terms of where we play from and who we might target, but overall our principles stay the same, with especially in attack and in defence, they never change our principles. Yeah, so look, we do like to mix it up a touch, but overall we try and keep it as simple as we can and make sure we can get our blueprint right every week. Well, we give ourselves a pretty good chance.
We're all pretty impressed with Mitch Moses, the way he began the year. Have you had a chat to him about making sure that, mate, you know, you've had some time off, but let's pick up where we left off?
Yeah, look, his first game against the Dogs, he sort of sat back and got himself into the game, so I'm thinking that we'll probably just, you know, for the Broncos game, he'll make sure that we complete our sets and turning the ball over on our terms. And he's he just started to come to his own a little bit at the back end of that Titans game. So you know, I wouldn't expect him to kick off there straight away, but if he can make sure that he's controlled and composed with our game planning and make sure we stick to it, that's going to be the key for him. But I think the biggest improvement of Mitch so far is his defence. Like I'm really challenging him to defend tough. And whatever he has that mentality to defend tough and chase his own kicks, I think that'll bring his attack into the game.
So, Brad, what's the key for Parramatta this year? Like, if you're sitting here now talking to us, this competition's about to resume, and you're looking at Parramatta as premiers at the end of the season, what is key for you to get right?
Our ability to back up good performances. So, you know, like I said earlier, you know, the games last year where we had to play tough, grinding football right to the last minute, we tended to start the games the next week exactly the same, and it put us in a really good stead. But then all our games that sort of finish with a blowout scoreline at the, you know, the last 20 minutes, which, you know, you've got to work hard to get to that. We weren't prepared the next week to go back and start exactly this with the same mentality. We thought we could just turn up, and on the games where we got beat and games last year, we probably either should have won or we give ourselves a chance. It's just because we had the wrong mentality to start the game. So that's going to be the key for us, is making sure that week to week we go back, we restart, and we earn the right.
And as a coach, how difficult is that to instill in your players?
We've got to practice our training, and as soon as, you know, there's signs of it, you know, we've got to nip it in the bud, but we've also got to make sure our key playmakers and our spine are on the same page and actually agree with what we're pushing with them, but also agree with, that is something that we need to improve, and then it's up to them to drive it, because whatever mentality and how they play, it usually is a reflection of the team, and the team will follow suit.
Hey, Brad, with mate, just going back to the Broncos, are you a chance of looking at last year's semi-final? What was it, 58-0, and just showing the boys and say, hey, boys, this attacking performance would be nice?
Yeah, look, things don't always pan out that way, but I always, whether doesn't matter if we're playing the Bronx or whoever, I always go back and watch previous games against them because teams are usually reasonably similar from year to year and have their traits. And, you know, there's some things that work against some teams and some that don't. So I've watched our games and I know what did work against them, but I'm sure they were aware of that as well. So, you know, we're a team that doesn't matter who we play, we like to, if once we've earned the right, we like to put a bit of shift and pass the football. I don't want to lock our boys into not being able to play. And, you know, I think in the first two rounds, we ended up with the most offloads and the most shifts and passes in those first two rounds, even though we hadn't really focused on it. So we've got a skill set in our team that I don't want to take out of them.
Just on that game from last year's finals, it was a day game, BA. Do you speak to your players at all about that and about the fact that the Broncos will clearly be using that as motivation, because there was a hell of a lot of fallout after that particular match and there were headlines for months to come?
Yeah, no, we won't talk about it. The boys are aware of it. The boys know it was a pretty special night for us and everything sort of went to our plan. And it doesn't always go like that, but we've been on the end of it and the receiving end of it as well. You know, we went up to Suncorp in the Magic Round last year and the, you know, the Storm put 50 or 60 on us. So we've been on the receiving end and we're not using it as... Well, we're not talking about the Broncos using it as extra motivation. You know, we have to go up there and they're a different team playing some really good football and we've got to earn the right and the respect from Broncos, you know, from the kickoff.
Just on that Broncos too, Brad, when you look at their pack, like what goes through your mind? It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it's young and athletic and it's big, you know, so their best football's still, you know, well ahead of them, but they've got a really good big mobile forward pack. You see they're doing a lot of passing with the football at the moment as well, so they've obviously got a reasonable skill set about them. You know, and Steve's is obviously doing a good job with those young blokes, making sure they're just not batting rounds, but they can actually pass the ball too.
Brad, pardon. For obvious reasons, we're seeing that the Warriors can now take some players on loan. How do you feel about that moving forward? Do you think there should be more of that sort of thing among NRL clubs?
I don't really know the answer. I'm not, you know, what message are you sending your players if you let them go for 4 weeks and if you can't get them back? And, look, we've worked really hard with the squad that we've put together over the last couple of years to make sure we've got plenty of depth and plenty of quality in it. And it's going to take way more than 17 players to push for a top four or, you know, or make sure that we're out there at the back end of the season. We're going to need, in the current format of, you know, playing 18 games straight, I think, you know, we're going to need anywhere from 26 to 28 players to get us through the end of the year. So I'm counting on all our blokes being fit and healthy and being available to help out throughout the year.
But on the flip side, you could actually go out and get someone if you need them.
Yeah, you could. We're fortunate we don't need to go and get anyone at the moment. So the selfish part of us as a club is we're happy with our squad and, you know, that's how we want to stay.
All right, Brad, good to catch up, mate, and best of luck on Thursday night.
All right, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Good on you, mate. Brad Arthur there joining us. He is the head coach of the Parramatta Eels.